When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast.
Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. It's time for a wonderful surprise episode of Inside Indiana Sports Now with Ken Sterling and the great Ryan Sterling. When I get troubled about it, basketball, especially Indiana basketball, this is who I turn to explain it to me. Indiana with a thrilling win in double overtime against a challenged Northwestern squad. Indiana couldn't shoot early, couldn't really shoot late. It made a lot of foul shots. Ryan, what the hell happened that changed the tide for Indiana and gave them this win?
Well, I think, two things. One, free throw line. They started actually knocking down free throws. I think they saw they missed their last 32 foul shots or something like that. They missed five. Really good free throw shooting down the stretch. And I really do think that in the last 3 minutes of regulation and in overtimes, you saw a different mindset about that three-minute mark. Heavy defensive pressure, I thought, kind of got them into the game a little bit more. And Durham and Franklin were great.
Agreed. A different mindset. What does that tell you about this Indiana team?
It tells you that they don't come to play for 40 minutes.
That's not a good thing.
No. And they came to play tonight for 18 and won. And that kind of tells you where Northwestern basketball is apparently at this time. Maybe they didn't play great. I have no idea. But
We don't watch a lot of Northwestern.
We do not. But, it goes to show that, you know, this team, they can play and they're good if they come out and play hard for 40 minutes. It doesn't look like they either have the energy or the want to get it done for that long. And they flipped a switch tonight and it ended up working out for them. But
let's talk about the offense, because the offense had you troubled. What troubles you about Indiana's offense? We're on a time limit, so let's try to keep this under 2 hours. I know there's a litany of things you'd like to discuss about the offense, but give me the nutshell.
No pace. No one's coming off screens hunting shots. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of it. You got to know how to work out of a double team in the post. No down screens. People throwing passes and just following with a ball screen. It's the easiest offense to guard that I've seen in college basketball.
They seem to be very, very easy to guard. One thing that I never see, all right, a lot of times with other teams, not with Indiana, you see teams enter the post. The double will come from the weak corner, all right? If a guy's out on the weak corner, the double comes from there. And guys on the post, they'll make the catch and they'll swing it to the weak corner and you get an open three. You never see that with Indiana, ever, ever, ever. And that guy in the corner is open all day long.
He is, and I think the reason you see that is there's always a guy on the opposite block for Indiana. Every time I saw a double team, I saw a guy standing on the opposite block or somewhere in the lane in the vicinity of where Davis was. If you go four out around that, you get a guy kicking into the post and then cuts off the post entry.
Right.
That causes some issues with the defense getting the double team in. But there's a complete lack of spacing around Jackson Davis when he gets doubled that doesn't allow for the type of movement you see from a normal college basketball offense.
And I also see this. Teams are starting to get smart with Trace Jackson Davis. They'll allow the entry and they'll wait until he puts it on the deck to send the double. and that seems problematic for Trace.
Yeah, he's got one thing to go to, and that's his left hand. He goes over that right shoulder, and he's got that little left hand, little push shot, and he can turn to his left shoulder and lay it up. But that's pretty much the two things that he's got going for him. And if you double from the opposite block and take away that right shoulder, he's kind of stymied, and he doesn't really know how. He's not really effective enough as an offensive player to combat that. Apparently, I just haven't seen it from him.
Indiana now 3-9. Under Archie Miller, the game after winning against a ranked opponent. What does that tell you about Indiana?
It tells me that the players think they're pretty good after they beat a ranked team, and they're not. And it's something, you know, obviously you beat a ranked team, you want to build off of it. You don't want to get all fat and happy about, you know, yeah, we beat Iowa, and now we go up to Northwestern and we play, you know, 13, 15 minutes of good basketball and we win. I hope they learn and they come out. In a couple of days, I forget who they have next, but come out and play with some ferocity and understand that their season's on the line here. You can't be losing games down the stretch and expect to make the NCAA tournament.
And against the Big Ten, you're really playing against a decent team every night. There are no really bad teams in the Big Ten. Northwestern, they scored poorly the last 7 minutes of the first half. They got one bucket, and that was late. Indiana scored one bucket. How about this? So Indiana, early, they can't score. Al Durham hits a three with 14:25 left in the half. And the next stoppage of play, out he comes. What the hell, what is happening when a coach takes out a guy who's just hit your only shot in the first 6+ minutes of the game?
You're getting a little too rigid with your thinking in terms of getting guys in the game and getting a flow going. And maybe that's a set thing. The first stoppage under 15 minutes, Durham comes out of the game. And that's just kind of the way the rotation has worked. But yeah, again, if you're struggling to score that much on offense and you got a guy who knocks down a shot, you know, screw.
Let's leave him in.
Right, yeah, screw the rotation.
Free throws. How can a team be this bad early in the game shooting free throws, which is really there? It wouldn't be an issue if it weren't recurring. You know, they can't hit free throws. So how do you fix that? Do you fix that? What's the deal?
Well, I mean, all you can do is work at it. I can't imagine they don't shoot free throws. They have to be shooting them at some point during practice. But I think that all goes back to that mindset we were talking about earlier when, you know, with that 3 minutes and under in those overtimes, I can't remember. They might have missed one or two.
Yeah.
But they were really good from the free throw line. And that's being locked in defensively and offensively. And that gets you, you know, then you're locked in at the line.
Okay, let me ask you this. As you have a team like this that's kind of soft in the melon, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not consistent. So that means they're not disciplined. They've got issues. Is that a matter of recruiting the right guys who play at that level all the time? Or can that be instilled in guys who have a tough time playing that way if you recruit them? Because they're long, they're talented. But nobody gives 32 minutes in a high school game, right? So I don't know. It's a chicken or egg thing. Have they recruited this problem, or is this a cultural problem within the program?
And this is a cop-out answer, but I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think there is a little bit of a cultural issue. I also think that when you can fix that quickly by recruiting like one or two classes a good, hardworking kids. And you saw that with Indiana when they brought in Holes and that Watford and that group, things changed because those guys worked. They put in the effort and they were out there for 40 minutes. Yeah, they're out there for 40 minutes. When they were in the game, they were playing hard. It might just be a thing of maybe extend that bench one or two more guys and say, hey, look, I'm going to cut your minutes by three or four. But when you're out there, you're giving all you've got. It's not a 90% effort thing. It's 100%.
How about this? Sit your ass down and you're not getting up until I see 40 minutes. I don't give a damn. I'm shifting. I'm going with a line shift. I'm bringing the four freshmen in and some guy. I don't give a damn as long as they put out some effort because I'm tired of it if I'm a coach, right? I mean, I'm not a crazy person in the living room asking for this. I don't do that when I'm on the couch. Nobody would watch a game with me. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how about not tolerate it? We get the behavior we tolerate, right?
Yeah, and that's the one thing I've always really enjoyed about Roy Williams at North Carolina. He doesn't take that. If they got five guys who are out there playing poorly, and he's upset about it. There are five guys who don't normally play who are coming in the game, and you're going to watch these guys play and see how hard they play. It might not go great. It might go really well because they're playing hard. But at the end of the day, it's that line shift. And, I mean, Man's won a couple of national championships, and I think that's the mindset you got to have.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because the freshmen all of a sudden started playing together, the four freshmen. So here's what I interpreted. Here's what I inferred. That at some point, Archie was putting the four freshmen together in practice. And they were running like the red team or the white team or whatever, the team that's not the the starters. And had maybe Race on that team or whoever. And that team started beating the hell out of the regulars in practice. And Archie in his head's like, okay, to hell with this. I'm pulling these guys. I'm putting these guys out there for a couple minutes. And they look really good together. It might be matchup oriented, how it kind of works out in plus minus. How do you see those freshmen building together, and how do you see the way they work together?
So it's going to be about getting those guys together and building a rapport. And it might be the, the pandemic and how things have kind of worked out. These guys are just hanging with each other. And it's wonders what you'd see with a group of four or five guys on the floor, well, five, who actually like each other. And who genuinely have an affinity for one another, and they're friends off the court. They're friends off the court, and it's something you don't really see a whole lot with the regular group of guys that play a little bit. You don't see a lot of guys rooting for one another. Sometimes you see, I think you noticed during the game, Jerome Hunter trying to poach a rebound from
Jackson Davis. Stevenson,
and that's not good. That's not conducive to a nice back and forth between two players. But you got to have a group of guys that really like each other, have each other's backs. You see it sometimes. I've seen it a little bit with Finnessy. There are passes that aren't made, that are pretty clear passes to be made. And it's not just him, but it comes to mind where, guys are open and you got to give them the ball. And it's just a look and then it's a dribble and then, okay, I'll get you the ball. It's not a done. And these guys are good enough basketball players to know when guys are open and ready to shoot. And you got to give them the ball on time and on target. And I think a lot of it has to do with maybe some of the guys just maybe not liking each other a little bit.
We'll be back after this word from Pacers Basketball.
Pacers Co. is proud to introduce its new line of all-star grade products. Have your backboards lost their all-star shine? Don't worry. Introducing the all-new Domas Extra Strength Glass Cleaner. Thanks to a scientifically formulated mix of grit and determination, Domas Extra Strength cleans glass 58% more effectively than the leading competitor. Simply apply to an area and Domas works on contact. No fuss, no hassle, just professional grade hustle. Guaranteed. Available for a limited time.
All right. Let's go to what's coming up. They got six games left.
Yeah.
Right. You play against Michigan.
Okay.
You've got a game against Purdue.
Minnesota.
Coming up, yeah, they've got Minnesota. That's one of the games they got to win. You've got Rutgers, Michigan State. Northwestern, Rutgers, Michigan State, kind of the games you had to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got these. How do you see this team kind of narrowing its focus down the stretch, trying to earn a tournament nod, and do they get one?
I think they do get a tournament nod. I think they've beaten enough quality teams to get that. Again, they got you got to take care of your business. Again, like you said, if you beat Michigan State and you beat Rutgers, I think that's good enough. You got 13 wins. Maybe you have to win a game in the Big Ten tournament, but
Minnesota, you win those three, you go 14-11, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I think you have to feel pretty good about your chances of getting in. Not what you expected coming into the season. I think there are some higher expectations than that. I don't know if they were reasonable going in, but I think this team is talented enough to make the tournament, and we've seen them beat decent basketball teams. They beat Iowa twice, you beat Stanford, Providence isn't horrible, and they beat them badly.
Right.
I want to know where the team...
Overtime losses mm-hmm. to Illinois, Wisconsin, and Florida State, so those are, if there's such a thing, good losses.
Yeah, true, and honestly, I'd like to see where the team was that was playing in November and early December. That was a very good basketball team, fun to watch. Yeah, Race Thompson was aggressive and seemed to be playing mean basketball, as opposed to what you're kind of seeing now from people on the floor is some passivity to the way they're playing.
Race Thompson is an interesting guy to me. He may be the most indispensable guy in this team because he can guard multiple positions. He's going to rebound. He's going to work his ass off on both ends, and they don't have a lot of guys like that.
No, they don't. And he's a guy that can give Jackson Davis just a little bit of a spell defensively in terms of being able to guard a guy who's a little bit bigger. If you're asking so much of him, Jackson Davis, I mean, on offense, you got to have a guy on defense that you can throw to multiple positions and give Davis a little bit of time to breathe. And yeah, he's very important. Franklin's obviously very important, and Jackson Davis. But among the other guys, you guys got to know their roles and figure it out. I think Hunter is going to be I think he's very important to this team. If they want to win multiple tournament games, he's going to have to get hot.
No chance of that happening. Well, you did a great job. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Listen, you know what? I know you got the Robbie Huddle. You got the Settles kid. You got all these guys. I know he played in the Valley, not the Big Ten. But my God almighty, when it comes to breaking down basketball, there's nobody better than this kid. You out of your mind? Right?
I agree.
Am I right? Look, Hummel, you ask Robbie Huddle about Ryan Sterling, for the love of God. How about that? We'll just leave it there.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.